Okay.
Welcome to the Permaculture Pimp Cast with your host, the Permaculture Pimp Daddy and the Pasture Raised Pimp. Get your recommended daily allowance of permaculture, preparedness, and practical living. Tip a pimp. Stay alert, stay alive. Permaculture is my passion. Oh yeah, welcome to episode 124 of the Permaculture Pimp Cast, where pimp stands for permaculture is my passion. The only pimp cast on planet Earth where we discuss permaculture, preparedness, and practical living, and in the future, a great many other things as well. How you doing, son?
Pretty good. How are you?
I'm good. This episode brought to y'all by Hickory Ridge Soap from twooldcrowshomestead.com.
Turn that simp into a pimp.
Bam! Also, y'all, 10% off with promo code PERMA over there at Heaven's Harvest. Yeah, get all your preparedness needs squared away over there, especially in these times. They got seeds. They got a lot of cool stuff over there that you can get to help you out in your preparedness needs. I mean, water filters, you name it. They got it covered over there. And we're going to talk at least a little bit today about some of the preparedness that you've got to do yourself. And it might actually be in the good news section. If you'd like to tip a pimp, go check us out on the Fountain app. You can listen to all your podcasts over there.
Well, actually, I don't know if you can.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're on the Fountain app anymore. I don't know if it's working. It's not working on my end.
Yeah, and I got messages from other folks, so I guess Fountain App better get loose or get lost. I mean, I guess we better reach out to them and find out what's up.
Let's stop mentioning them until they start playing our podcast.
Yeah, so tip a pimp over on Patreon. Yeah, let me go ahead and restate that. Yeah, so we do have a Patreon, and we cover a lot of cool stuff over there as well. If you want to check us out over there, it could be as little as a dollar and as much as 25. And we thank everybody for any contribution you can make. It's every little bit helps these days, but we try to give you, I mean, one of our goals, and we've had a little meeting here as a family the other day, is that even though things get tighter, things get tougher, things get crazier, things get complicated all the way around, our number one goal still at the end of the day is to provide. We want to be like a family, a food forest family. And what I mean by that is we want to make absolutely sure we're producing more than we require. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I want to make sure that we're not, there's a whole lot of complaints out there that we hear and it's not directed at us. It's actually directed at some of the other people out there that have gotten bigger, kind of lost their way. And it's all about just doing this and how they can aggrandize themselves. And they kind of forgot that. And folks, I pray on this. I pray that the Lord, no matter our success, keeps us humble, that we do the right things, that we don't never believe our press. That's why it's tough for me, honestly, when so many people say, oh, thank you for this, thank you for that. I don't know how to take that, really, because I know how flawed I am. I just like to think that maybe as a family, we are actually putting out good stuff. William stepped it up quite a bit. And he said, look, we're going to improve the quality of our videos. We're not going to put them out so much, but we are, in fact, going to improve the quality and the storytelling and make these things a little more digestible for so many people out there instead of what we would typically do. Well, son, why don't you tell them the way we used to do it and what's different about it now?
Well, before we would, figure out the video as we did it, kind of. Yeah, it was just... based on what we were doing, there wasn't really a plan behind telling a story or making it there just wasn't a plan. Well, there wasn't a plan at all as far as like the video goes. We were just figuring it out as we were recording it. Now we're going in and figuring out the video before we record.
Well, and then it's also something that we're asking ourselves, is this going to be a benefit? Is it going to bless people? Because the way our business model, and I know some people are going to give us some garbage over this, I'll tell anybody, I don't care who says whatever about it, but our business model on everything is that money is a byproduct of doing good work.
Right. Yeah.
And I make sure as the leader, I'm trying to make sure I constantly beat that in the head of my, and it's not like I have to, I mean, it's not like I'm getting any pushback on this, but I want to honestly make sure I point it out as often as I can that whatever we do in terms of business is just a byproduct of just good work. Putting out good stuff that people can use. If the algorithms like it, wonderful. If they don't, that's fine too. Or if we say the wrong thing, you know, I'm not going to sit here and kowtow to the powers that shouldn't be because I'm worried about what somebody might think. And I'm going to actually cover more of that when we get into the farm news as far as saying what you
are
know.
Are we not in the farm news?
Yeah, we are. But I want to cover it a little further down because I do want to actually hit on this thing. You know, I'll just go ahead and cover it right now. Kill the Mockingbirds is a podcast. They just recently did their latest episode and it was on Donald Trump.
Right. And, it's called Trump 316.
Yeah, I gotta give them a massive shout out because they have got to know that they're going to lose a massive part of their base just by doing what's right or putting out the evidence and letting you make the decision.
Right. Yeah. And then I'd suggest you go listen to that episode.
I thought they hit it out of the park. I think that was the most full, complete picture of the things you don't know about Trump. So all these people that are on board. I said it before, like Gerald Celente always says, I'm a political atheist. I don't see myself as left. Well, if you're with the Constitution, I'm with you. And I really see just about every single person up there as a doggone puppet.
Yeah. Yeah. Every single person.
And I think these guys provide, if you can look at it honestly, I think they provide a pretty compelling point of view that I've never heard anybody else. I mean, they put some serious work into that.
I've heard on and off.
I mean, all in one
similar,
place.
I've heard on and off similar statements from like Ted and Austin Brower on their podcast. But that's about the only other podcast I've ever heard anything to do with Trump and the Kabbalists.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, they covered that. And I don't know that I've ever heard a podcast where people went into greater detail. It's not like, hey, I don't like this guy. If you do that, I'm never going to listen to you again. But if you say, okay, here's what I don't like about this guy. Here are the consistencies. Here are things you ought to know. Here are things that you haven't been told. Here's things that if anybody else were to do it, you would throw them down. You would cast them away. And these guys know full well, and this is what I love about what they do, man. They know full well that this is not going to be well received by the overwhelming majority out there. And doing the right thing, y'all, doesn't always mean you keep your job. But I would highly recommend everybody get over there and check it out because they put some work into this, y'all.
And if there's some internet sleuths listening, they would appreciate the help in finding the full interview between Donald Trump and Oprah.
Yeah.
Which you can't seem to find anymore.
Yeah, how curious is that? All right, so moving on to other things. Folks, I don't spend a lot of time watching TV or anything like it, but I did watch that docuseries or miniseries, whatever they call it. It was on Netflix. It was called Painkiller, and it had Matthew Broderick in it, who, you know, formidable actor, and he did extremely well at playing the, you know, one of the bigwigs at the Sackler family. You know, all those people that put out those drugs in hand in hand with the FDA that sat there and killed, I think, well over 300 million people died, and they knew full well what these drugs were going to do.
That's the population of the United States.
No. Well, I'm sorry, 300,000. I'm sorry, I said million. Yeah, they didn't kill quite that many, but this is what they know about. I mean, these are the ones that we have accountability for. Now, here it is, Netflix, ran by the Obamas. They put this out there, and I'm like, okay, so you now know that they showed in this thing the collusion between Big Pharma and the FDA and showed this unholy alliance. And how it goes on and on and on and on. And how many people were knowingly murdered and all these so-called MDs out there, remember, it doesn't mean medical deity, that were prescribing this Oxycontin like candy. In fact, I remember when I was working as an electrician at the VA in Leavenworth, Kansas, I would be in the domiciliary where some of these guys were, and they were holding grocery bags. And you would hear them while I'm in there doing work, I would hear them overhear these conversations. You couldn't help but hear. They're in the common areas. And they would say, go to Dr. So-and-so, man. He will hook you up with the Oxy. And all these people, they were selling this stuff out the back gate. There was a lot of really seedy, nasty stuff going on. And you find out, if you get a chance, I'm not a big supporter of Netflix, obviously. I'm not going to champion them. But overlay that with what's going on now.
Well, do you know what that documentary, I think, was? was a way to delete the Sackard family's karmic debt. What they thought was deleting the karmic debt.
That's a good idea, son.
So they just turned every opioid prescription from a homicide now into a suicide.
Yeah. Yeah. Because
they gave you the information and they told you exactly what was happening. And if you still choose to take it, the way they look at it.
You can't get it now, but.
No, I'm saying like the way they look at it is that they're clearing themselves of karmic debt. That's why they have to tell you what they're going to do before they actually do it.
Right. That's real, y'all. I mean, you may not buy into it, but honestly,
they do.
Yes, exactly. They do. And, you know, people like to think that a lot of these folks are atheists. They're not.
No.
They're very much belly up to the bar at the dark side, y'all.
If we were as devoted, I can't remember who said this, but if we were as devoted as the Satanists were, this wouldn't be an issue. There wouldn't be an issue.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. And we realize, you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and nobody wants to see that, but these people are well aware of it. These are some diabolical, wicked people. They murdered all those people, and nobody went to jail for it. And then, you know, you turn back around and look at what's going on. The overlay that I'm saying right now is, curious movie to come out right now at a time where they're talking about the next round of jabs.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, okay, they just openly told you in here that there is an unholy alliance right there on Netflix. I couldn't even believe this thing made the light of day.
Well, also, guess what they've been secretly leaking, or not even so secretly, but semi-quietly leaking for the past year, that people are dying from these jabs. So now when they roll up round two, their karmic debt is cleared because they done told you.
Yeah, they did it right here in this Netflix documentary. So I would highly encourage everybody to go out there, check this thing out. It's worth examining because they're open. It's like an open mockery of like, yeah, this is exactly how it went on there. And it's exactly the way it's gone on the last couple of years. And it's exactly the way it's going to go on in the future. So,
and I do want to say, speaking about some of the esoteric stuff, people have been hitting me up about the Trivium and the Quadrivium. They've been sending me pictures saying, hey, is this the right book? Yes, it is the book. I will give you fair warning. When you get to the Quadrivium, it talks about some esoteric stuff that, again, the enemy believes in. I'm not saying it's 100% true. I'm not even saying it's true. I'm just saying whenever you see these symbols and see these angles and diagrams and all that stuff, you can then translate it into what they mean by it.
Well,
it's not supposed to like turn into sacred geometry or anything like that. Don't go down that road. That's not what this book is about.
But the geometry does overlay. It does overlay because if you look at a right triangle, I know I can't get into it a lot right now, but if you look at a right triangle, it kind of explains it all, you know, 3, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah.
It's all in there, but maybe we can cover something like that in the future and explain and go into greater detail what that is. But folks, there is a reason why it was extracted from the one room schoolhouse.
And if you struggled with geometry in school, you won't with this book.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. So, I mean, yeah, these days anymore, is anybody actually doing any geometry? So, okay, other farm news. We just got finished, literally. We're recording a little later than normal because I was out there. We went out today. We did a bunch of things. I'll cover that a little bit later, probably in the good news section. And, you know, got back, made some compost extract, putting it out there in the fields. And so far, things are really, really, really coming along. We'll let you know on down the line. Probably cover a lot of that, just like we did with the composting thing. Probably on Patreon to begin with. I mean, it's our way of saying, hey, number one, thank you for all you people out there that support us. And we're going to be showing you exactly what we're going through as things unfold. Now, tomorrow, maybe tonight, but almost certainly tomorrow, the book should be on our website.
Okay.
The foreword is by Joel Salatin. If you're going to want any signed copies or anything like that, I know some people have already purchased it. I'm sorry about that. I just didn't expect, I mean, I'll be honest with you folks, I didn't expect anybody to want me to sign anything. I'm nobody. I mean, I'm nobody special. And for, you know, people saying, hey, I'll buy it as soon as you sign it. And I'm like, man, you guys really think more of me than I deserve. I mean that. That's why I wasn't really a big fan of it. So we ordered books and we got them here. And I really didn't expect as much outpouring regarding that. Folks, I want to make this clear, and I know I've said it before, probably said it three times already this podcast. I am nothing special. I'm really not. Only superpower I guess I have is hard work and a work ethic, and I study hard. But at the end of the day, please do not think that I'm anything more than I am, because I'm very flawed, just like everybody else, So I was up late. I've been kind of sleep deprived for the last couple of days. Been up really
everybody
late.
Everybody has. Everybody, I think, has been sleep deprived the past couple of days.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, what's your reason?
Well, part of the 75 hard, but also, like, I don't know, just not getting restful sleep. Same with Emily. She hasn't been getting restful sleep. I mean, she's also very, very pregnant. So, like, June wakes her up by kicking her and stuff like that. So there's that. But also, Mom hasn't been sleeping too well either.
Yeah, but that's not unusual for her. I mean, she's always been, I mean, any little thing will wake her up, man. It would drive me crazy. It's like, man, you want to see something crazy. She'll be in a dead sleep. You let an animal make a whimper, and she will jump up out of that bed, man, like an alarm clock just went off. But in my case, I was up last night. You know, I had an interview. I've been doing a lot of those lately. A lot of people have been reaching out. I want to give a shout out to my man, Claude. He set me up with this interview with the Firmamental podcast. And that's with Alex.
Say that again into the mic, Dad.
Firmamental, F-I-R, like firmament.
Yeah.
Firmamental podcast. You know, I was originally going to be on there from like 9 to 10:30. I didn't expect to go that long. Next thing I know, we're talking till midnight.
Yeah.
And I was up till midnight doing this podcast, and it just felt like the time just flew by. And it's a relatively new podcast, but these guys, as the name probably implies, these guys, they're all about flat earth. I mean, we had a discussion that covered pretty much the entire gamut. And I think that's going to come out tomorrow as far as my appearance on this show. But it went, I mean, good night, man. This thing went forever and a day longer than I thought it would. And it felt like when you're having a good conversation, y'all, everybody knows what that feels like. When you're having a great conversation and you're like, I don't know if I want it to stop. That's kind of what it was, man, because I'm learning so much from these guys. I'm throwing questions at them, things that don't make sense, and they're pointing out and answering questions. There was one time where Raul, one of the hosts on there, he pointed out something that you've heard me say for years regarding the Great Pyramids and Orion's Belt.
Right, yeah.
I thought it was totally original to me. I had no idea that somebody else thought the same way. He said to me what I've been saying for years, long before I ever heard anything about flat earth. But I'm like, okay, I want to get them on this podcast and I want to talk to them. Not because I have a position on this. I asked them about Hollow Earth. I asked them about all these other theories. And I'm thinking, okay, maybe there's a fusion of a lot of this stuff. I just know, like I said, at the end of the day, and I even said in that interview, I'm not sure necessarily that anybody proved a flat earth to me. But what you did prove in spades is that everything we were told is a lie.
Well, what you did 100% prove is that NASA's been lying since they were created.
Yes, yes.
About everything.
I mean, dude, you see that moon landing from the Indians? The Indians?
Come on.
I'm like, man, for real? I mean, are you really thinking I'm buying this? I mean, this is a total, I'm like, come on, man. This is like somebody's shop project. And you're going to tell me, I mean, well, even if you look at the thing we supposedly put on the moon, you go over there to the Smithsonian in D.C., go look at this thing and ask yourself, when you look at it, could a child with a backpack get through that door?
Well, okay, there's the difference right there between Hollywood and Bollywood.
Boy, you got that. You got, dude, I was sitting here, I was dying laughing.
They had to talk the director out of putting a musical up there on the moon.
Man, I was like, really? I mean, I'm like, is this... I thought this was some kind of joke, but honestly, supposedly that is for real. If you haven't seen it, y'all, if you want to get a good laugh, check that out. All right. So the last part of farm news that I got is I've been really going. We've tried, I think, every single, at least I have at this point. William and I are really on top of this microscope thing. Michelle is going into the consulting thing, classes for consulting. And it consists of a number of things, and this is through the soil food web, and it consists of a number of markers you have to finish, okay? And so Michelle is actually working on this, and William and I are kind of picking up the rear doing the microscope work. Well, you got to do a lot of practice. You got to test a lot of things. And William's been doing his version of it. Maybe we'll have him talk about it. But on mine, I've been testing this bagged soil. We did a video where we tested three of them.
Yeah.
And I picked out two more of the highly touted bagged soil. I think this pretty much rounds out everything that's supposedly
to us,
everything available in this area, which is supposedly highly touted potting soil and everything. Y'all, I am telling you, the garbage, and I'm talking, this is the highfalutin stuff. I haven't tested a single one yet that was anywhere close to having any life at all in it. We tested it before for NPK, nitrogen, potassium, phosphorus, for those who don't know. And every single time this stuff, I was talking to Eric Sider the other night, and I was like, dude, you ain't going to believe every single thing I test is garbage.
Yeah.
I can't even believe these people are selling this stuff. So folks, I'm telling you, I've said all that to say this. Man, you better get good at making compost. This is why we've been beating everybody over the head with this stuff, because you can't rely on anything that's in that bag. Everything either has planned obsolescence or they're ripping you off. They're putting half as much in the bag. And because I think a lot of these folks know that right now we are in what Salatin calls a homesteading tsunami, that they're just throwing anything in the bag.
Yeah, I wonder if, well...
Son, this stuff was so hydrophobic, I couldn't even get it in the test tube to mix it up.
I don't know that they know that it's not even good. Because I think a lot of them are just throwing, I think they all think it's all about the organic matter that you throw into the bag in addition to whatever's already in there. I don't know that they even know that they're selling garbage.
Well, Eric even said, I mean, Eric pointed out something that should have been obvious, but he's real good at, it should have been obvious to me. He's always good at seeing, like, several dimensions beyond what you already think. I mean, and folks, you got to check out Eric when you get a chance. He says, well, yeah, what do you expect, man? They put it in a bag with no seal on it. I mean, the stuff ain't breathing. You got live organisms. In fact, we don't even send samples in the mail without putting air in the bag.
Yeah.
You can't even do that for a couple of days without killing your organism.
Some of those bags are permeable. Some of them have, like, some of them aren't solid plastic bags. Some of them are like feed sack bags.
Yeah, but you just suffocated all your doggone organisms in there. It may look decent, y'all, but I am telling you, this stuff is junk. All right, so I'm going to get down to, we're going to move right into the bad news, good news. Ordinarily, we would have a segment from Pastor Lon, but we don't have that today because I neglected to reach out to him and get it done. We were on our bicycles today. And like I said, here in this segment, we'll cover a little more of that. All right, so the bad news, good news section. For those that don't know, for every one bad news, we give you two good ones. That's how we do it right here. And, okay, so the bad news. This is from All News Pipeline. As the Biden curtain goes up around Lahaina, man, I can never say that word right. What's going on with all the wildfires across America, Canada, and Europe? The Deagle Report, now I'm going to come back to that. The Deagle Report warned us as our infrastructure is destroyed. Okay.
I've got information on that, too.
Okay, go ahead, son.
So I do jiu-jitsu with a Forest Service guy, and they just shipped him out. He's been gone for, like, the past 3 weeks or so. We thought he quit, or I thought he quit, at least. He went out there. They sent him out to, like, a bunch of different fires and stuff like that, and had him sit, like, him and his crew, we're just sitting and waiting the entire time. Not actually doing anything, but he did confirm that there are wildfires everywhere.
Yeah.
And when they get to the wildfire, they just sit and wait.
Yeah, I worked as a firefighter years ago, too. And I worked in the Mendocino National Forest. I worked in Sisters, Oregon, doing firefighting work. That's another life altogether. And it wasn't a long portion of time, but I just thought it'd be cool to be able to say, hey, I was a smoke jumper, you know, at the time. And that's why I volunteered for it. William was still a baby at that time. Long story short, yeah, you go out there, you do some pretty harrowing stuff. Well, I didn't, but typically. Well,
according to them, they just sat and said, like, they weren't digging trenches. They weren't doing anything. They were just sitting there waiting.
Yeah, you're cutting up fire breaks, and nine times out of ten, depending on the fire, when you jumped out of an airplane with a Pulaski or a chainsaw, man, there's only so much you're going to do. I'm not even sure, honestly, that we ever did any good, except for mop-up. We'd go around, and when the fire had already been through, we were in there doing what's called mop-up, and we'd go in there and clean those out. But the point being is what this article's pointing out is that, and it brought up, and the reason I'm bringing it up is because they brought up what's called the Deagle Report. Now, if you do your own research on that, folks, the Deagle Report, which was highly touted, a lot of Israelis used to use it. For a while there, they came out and said, look, we're predicting, and look, I'm not trying to freak anybody out here, but they basically came out a while back saying, by 2025, the population in United States is going to be about 75 million. Well, right now, we're roughly at 225 million and probably counting based on, you know, the influx that nobody's talking about anymore that's coming up from the South. Well, that being the case, people are thinking, and a lot of them out there right now are thinking that one of the means in which we get to that number is based on all the things you happen right now, and fires being one of them. And basically, it was predicted years ago in the Deagle Report. Now, they've since taken it down from their website. And then for a short period of time, it went back up. First of all, their first prediction was down to 100 million. And everybody was like, well, how do we get there? And we're talking about 2025. And then they redid it, put it back up, and then said, no, 75 million. Well, actuaries, insurance actuaries that are awake, went out, did the numbers, and they said, oh my goodness, is that based on this? Is it based on that? Well, in this article, they make a pretty, I don't know if it's convincing, but a compelling case anyway, that one of the ways, the means in which we get to that point is through these fires, which are absolutely contrived, in my opinion, through the food that's being, I mean, oh, good night. I mean, do I even need to put any emphasis on that? I mean, you're telling me all these food processing plants, they bring that up in the article. In addition to that, all these crops all throughout the world that just happen to be going kaput in the most pivotal places, but they're just fine in others. All these things happening simultaneously. Folks, you better get your house in order. That's part of why I wanted to bring this up. And, you know, there's other good, we'll get into the good news on what it's basically on the heels of this. So we always say stay alert, stay alive, but there's a reason for this, y'all. They're doing it with the fire. They're doing it with the food. They're doing it with the legislation. They're doing it every single way you can possibly imagine. And still people seem to be sleepwalking right through no matter what. And no matter what happens, it's you just can't get anybody to care.
I think I met a real life, like a real life homunculi the other day, or today. And it was at the gym, at the college.
Okay, well.
Like, there was just no life behind that person's eyes at all.
Where at?
Just at the gym. It was at the in Mars Hill. And it was just like, there was just a nothing student? There. Yeah, it was a student.
Well, yeah. He could have been high, man. He probably smoked everything but his socks.
I don't think so. It was, just, and then also, homunculi has never popped into my head before, but it did immediately with this person. Well, why don't you
explain that to people that don't know?
Well, I guess I don't 100% understand what it is, but apparently it's like a...
Well, it's apparently a pejorative. I mean, it's apparently not.
It's like back in the day, I guess alchemists would create what's called a homunculi, and I think like Frankenstein would be a good representation of what a homunculi is, where they create this shell, and then they inoculate the shell with something.
That gives it animation.
Yeah, that gives it animation and can do that person's bidding. Juan from One to One podcast. He does episodes with Kill the Mockingbirds. He's real big into the homunculi, and he's provided a lot of information here recently. There might be a whole bunch of them walking around. That might be the common NPC term.
Well, Joel at Kill the Mockingbirds often talks about people as meat, or certain people as meat sacks, and... Yeah. Honestly, I think more of those are walking around here than we know. And, you know, whether they're bombed on drugs, whether on this, whether they're on that, or just completely manufactured souls, man. I really don't know.
Trapped in their body like Get Out. That came out like years ago.
Oh, man. So maybe we get down to these numbers with some of this zombie stuff that's going on.
Maybe
people
know.
Are going to start flipping in the zombies, man. Who even knows? So let's talk about some good news. All right, so that's part of what we did today. So for those that live anywhere near Western North Carolina, Cloud Nine Farms, it is an awesome little farm where they got tons of blueberries still. We went out there with Ben and Denise at Renewed Homestead, went out there getting blueberries. Folks, I've been to this farm many, many times before, and we've done a lot of picking there because ours weren't exactly you know.
Yeah, they're not in full production.
Yeah, they're not in full production. I mean, you get enough to make a meal out there, to put them in your yogurt, what your mom does.
Yeah.
And they, honestly, they're fantastic. The flavor is second to none. So we go out there and supplement what we have. So, well, right now, usually the blueberry picking would be all but done by this point. You'd be on the shady end. But I'm telling you what, with all the dumb stuff they were pulling with the weather, Janet, the lady who owns that farm, she's like, man, I initially told everybody we'd have picking through September the 2nd, but it looks like we're going to be picking all the way through mid-September.
Oh, wow.
And I'm telling you, you can ask your mom. I have never, ever, ever seen blueberry bushes this loaded in my life. Huh. We had to walk away. In fact, I was thinking about, man, we got to go back out there. We only got like 2 gallons of them. Because what happened?
What happened?
Well, I ate a fair piece. And then plus Janet was out there. I haven't seen her in a while. I'm talking to Janet. We're filming a little bit of video, which we're going to put up to kind of help promote out there. Because she's a single elderly lady that is, well, she'd probably kill me if I said that. But honestly, she's out there. She's, okay, so this is like this farm has been her family for generations. And it's just outside of Asheville. And they had done a little bit of agritourism. You know, they got Airbnbs out there. We did some video, not initially. We were not even going to film out there. But I did some video because I figured, okay, we could help promote. Because she's been one of those people that has suffered because she and her staff would not get that jab. It made her pariah among all the other farmers out there that were part of this co-op. They didn't get it, and then all of a sudden they were on the outs. And now, you know, where they would have weddings all the time, you know, 7 weddings, I think, last year. There's only been 2 this year. Airbnb and kicking, and it's a beautiful place.
Yeah.
And the blueberries, I'm telling you what, y'all, the blueberries are off the meat. I have never seen, all the times we've been picking all these years, I have never seen blueberries this loaded this time of year. I mean, I'm talking them real sweet rabbit eyes.
Yeah.
So that's some good news out there. If you're anywhere around, y'all, I'm going to, William doesn't know it. He's actually finding out right now. We're going to put out a special video. We're only like doing 2 of them a week now, but to kind of get some wind in her sails out there because she's an older lady and she's running this thing all by herself. She has a little bit of hired help, but you know what that's like these days.
Right.
And she's like, I got the berries, but they're going to rot on the vine if people don't come out here and get them.
Yeah.
And it's not like them blueberries that you get at the store where you pick up that little pint of blueberries, you bring it home, you ever notice you put it in your fridge and then you got what's growing on it in a couple of days? You got
like mold and mildew.
Yeah. Every single time you turn around, you go buy it's almost,
hey, guys, pay attention to like the expiration dates, especially lately. Emily went to the store the other day. Almost everything she bought was expired. She like just figured like peanut butter, for example. Like you can generally buy peanut butter and not, you know, have an expiration date that's out of date. That wasn't the case. Like that was expired. Everything almost was expired. Like all the like if you go to the lettuce section, all that stuff was expired. It was, yeah, something is going on. I don't know if they're just keeping stuff on the stock or on the shelves past the expiration date just to show that they have something or what.
Well, a lot of people were talking about that too. A lot of them in the meat section, a lot of that sort of thing is going around. And I've come across that same thing too, especially with things that had anything to do with dairy. But hey, this is going right back to that. This is going right back to what we were talking about as far as this good news, y'all. Look, I know not everybody's going to be located in Western North Carolina, but if you can get over there and get yourself some blueberries, it's a superfood. You could even, Ben and Denise told me they freeze dried them. And, you know, other people have had varying degrees of success on that. I'm going to try some myself as far as freeze dry them. But that is a superfood as you're ever going to find is blueberries. Plus, honestly, of all the berries out there, they are my favorite. Well, I don't know, them raspberries we got going down the hill.
Yeah.
I would have never put raspberries even in the ballpark with blueberries, but those raspberries are on a whole nother level.
Blueberries win because raspberries get too stuck in your teeth.
Yeah, there is that. But, yeah, you know,
that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, me. We need enough for your mom to make a raspberry pie. But she got out of there and she said, I think I need to make a couple of pies. I'm like, all right, we need to go back. We need to go back and go get a bunch more blueberries. But, folks, that's good news. That's why I put that in there. And the other good news is, folks, I could go out here and give you another The good news is just going to be what I know to be good news. Number one, like I said, blueberries, it's not just in my area. The other good news is there is something around you, I guarantee, where there's a deal going on, probably a farmer in a bind, that you could probably get something at a fair bargain. Here's some good news. You still got time to get prepared. That is good news. That, look, I'm not reading this from an article. I'm telling you that is fantastic news. Because honestly, there's so many of us that were expecting this shoe to drop last year. It didn't. So you got a stay of execution, if you will. Point being is that even if you have very little money, like I was explaining on that interview last night with the Firmamental podcast, is that even if you have limited funds, if you have, don't go out there and spend your money if you have very limited funds on or freeze-dried food. Go out there and get your dry goods. You can still get it. Even though the rice is $5 higher now in Sam's for a 50-pound bag than it was just a couple of months ago. Yeah, it's going up that much, and that's, you know, it could be even higher now from what I know. The good thing is that you still have time. Do not despair. You don't have to. We've done videos on it before, many videos. Go out there, get your dry goods, get the beans, get the rice. Get your fat. That's what everybody forgets. Get shelf-stable fat. You can get all kinds of awesome shelf-stable fat out there. And it's not that expensive. We showed you how you can feed one person for roughly 75 days with $100.
Yep.
Okay? You can probably, and for the people out there saying, well, I just don't have the money. Well, you might want to crap that money because it's getting to the point now where this thing is... They're doing everything possible, but this is why I'm talking about this being good news. You still got time. You still got tomorrow. You got the weekend coming up. You got a holiday weekend where people are generally going to, this might, because a lot of people go back to school after that. This is going to be their one big hoorah before they go back to school. So what are they going to do? What are they going to do? They're going to live it up, party this weekend, probably blow what little money they have. Well, you don't have to do that. Take a little bit of that. Get a few canned goods here and there. That's why I'm saying it is good news. You still have time. There's, you know, prognosticators of doom out there saying that things are going to jump off by the end of this year. Well, it might. But then again, I've been expecting this to jump off since 2000. So my track record as far as predicting any of these things hasn't been right on point. But I will say that your mom, who's never been an alarmist by any stretch of the imagination, felt strongly for months now that we have got to start putting back even more than we always have, than we ever have.
Yeah.
And she just feels like it just based on what she's getting in the zeitgeist. And I've learned to trust that feeling from William and Michelle. I mean, if they're feeling the impetus to do that, which we've always done, but to kick it up even higher and going out there getting these blueberries and going out there getting what you can, folks, it is absolutely critical. All right, with that, we're going to move on to my man.
Eric Sider here with your PimpCast tip of the day. Today's tip, nature never goes backward. Ecosystems are constantly changing. There is no set perfect example that needs to be preserved like a museum exhibit. Nature is not sentimental. It does not care about specific species, only that they serve a specific function. Classifying something as native or invasive is merely to pick an arbitrary point in history to try to return to. Nature always seeks balance. When we demonize a species for destroying an ecosystem, we are just blaming the symptom, not the root cause. Just like a healthy immune system can fight off disease, a healthy ecosystem does not get overrun by an introduced species. Like Bill Mollison said, we are all native to planet Earth. If you want to learn more about how invasive species will be nature's salvation, I highly recommend reading the book The New Wild by Fred Pierce. You can find me on YouTube and Instagram at Eric Sider. And if you're in need of permaculture t-shirts or permaculture consultation and design, head over to ericsider.com.
That's my dog right there, y'all. Go check out Eric. And always, as usual, man, good night, man. He's always coming out with some really, really awesome tips. So
that reminds me of the time at Jeff Lawton's farm. He had these ecologists come out because they had to come and verify that he had grown like 10,000 some species of tree, which all he did was let like a couple acres go fallow in the middle of his property, and he got all the credit for all the new growth. But he had these ecologists come out, and he's over here arguing with them about natives and non-natives and stuff like that. Just not arguing with them, like yelling and stuff, but just embarrassing them in front of all these students. And I'm sure they were not expecting a class full of people to be there for that.
Well, that's what you get when you mess with the pimp daddy of permaculture himself. Yeah, so y'all, I mean, honestly, some of the ballinest permaculture t-shirts you're ever going to find, you're going to find at Eric Sider. So go check him out on YouTube, and you can find a link in any of his videos. I mean, that's 90% of the shirts we wear come from Eric,
yeah.
And there's a reason for that. All right, before we get into the main topic, I want to remind you, $50 off from EMP Shield. Do I even need to go into the reasons why you might want to consider that? Look, right at the top of the list is always going to be lightning, at least for me. And being a journeyman electrician for well over 2 decades, you look, y'all, I can tell you your biggest threat out there is going to be your lightning. So nobody beats their ironclad guarantee. If anything gets past it, they will cover you for 25 G's. That's what I'm talking about. That's why I reached out to EMP Shield. They did not reach out to me. All right. Regarding the main topic, y'all, I got a letter, an email. Usually I handle, you know, any responses or anything in the Q&A section. Changed it up today because I think this is something everybody can relate to and everybody can benefit from. Maybe I don't have time to go through all of it because I want to provide a little good news on the other end of it. This one here is from a person named LT. The growing season was discouraging, but not without great lessons. Many still don't have solutions. Last year, I watered every day, and it was still too dry. This year, I never watered, and it got too wet here in Zone 6A. Most everything did poorly. Seems as though the more I grew the trees, the more I grew, the less I got. Squash bugs decimated just about every squash. Flea beetles took the eggplant and even the wild plantain growing in the yard. Not enough peppers, okra, powdery mildew rampant, despite natural treatment with milk, baking soda, grapes, black rot, blackberries, 90% lost, and spotted wing Drosella flies. None of my dear resilient turnips came up due to voles and moles. I can't grow any root veggies behind my house because of them. Shot 9 rabbits and 1 groundhog eating my lettuce and cabbages. Too bad my hubby is allergic to fur, so no guard dog, and his bad back keeps him out of the garden. My summer is over. 3 bushels of tomatoes out of 26 plants. 5 didn't even produce. They were heirlooms. Basically, in a nutshell, she goes on down and says, talking about the pumpkins, and she said, despite all of that she cites there, she says, I still praise the Lord. One of my adult children is focused on the internal harvest, sharing Christ with hundreds of people on the highways and byways of cities, and many accepting Christ. And then the other children follow the Lord as well. And she goes on to say, our biggest regret is when we bought our 3 acres 25 years ago was that we didn't plant fruit trees. Question, now that we have many little fruit trees all bone sauced up, but still getting deer browse, they don't seem to eat the trunk, but still, what can we do? Thank you for so much we've learned. You're our number one go-to, and I want to be educated, not entertained. Yeah, I thank you so much for that. And she's from the Finger Lakes. I don't know why I always say it that way. The Finger Lakes region of New York. Yeah, former native of my area. So LT put a lot out there. And first of all, the bone sauce, it'll work better if you can get it when things go dormant. Put it all the way up and down those branches. Any branch that they could possibly browse, and you're probably going to see it work a little bit better. We're seeing things that we've never seen before in the wildlife out there. Although it does still seem to be working extremely well on rabbits as well. And here it works really well on deer. It's just we're realizing we got to apply more and more often. Not something we ever had to deal with before. So all these weird anomalies still seem to be affecting everything. But back to your, here's what I want to cover, y'all. Good night, man. You talk about a kick in the jimmy. I mean, they're getting beat up 30 ways to Sunday. And you hear her response is that even in this, she's still going to praise the Lord. Now, I think if you were to ask Eric or William or myself or anybody else, that you would find out that number one, the source of a lot of your the pestilence that you're dealing with in terms of your growth out there is always going to be rooted in your soil. It's almost never going to be a genetic thing. It's almost always your soil. So yeah, you're just to kind of cover that real quick. I know you have soil tests and stuff like that. You say it was linked in here, but I don't see it. And even if you did, if it came from the county office, they're only going to check for NPK and a few other things, maybe some, whether it's acidic or, you know.
Yeah, pH, NPK, yeah. Micronutrients, stuff like that. Maybe. Stuff that doesn't even matter.
Things that really don't matter because, you know, the way things work, it's really insignificant. So at the end of the day, I would highly recommend that you just learn as much as you can about, well, first of all, composting, because I think you could solve a lot of your problems just through that. Now, if you're going out there using some synthetic chemicals, that's going to be a big problem because they're ultimately salts. They're ultimately going to rob your soil. You're ultimately going to be on this roller coaster. So worry about making compost. And that applies to all of us out there. But the bigger point I wanted to hit in this segment, the reason why I singled this out to be the topic of the show, is, folks, you're going to have to become hard to kill. You're going to have to become resilient. You're going to have to, no matter how many times you get kicked down, especially in this farming realm, especially if you're not, you know, no matter where you are in that continuum, you are going to have tragic losses. And most people just say they throw their hands in the air and they never give it another shot. When really, if you just maybe not focus, and it's not just LT here, but it's everybody else out there that is, and I get these letters, things didn't do well. Well, like I said, the reason why we are covering compost after compost after compost video is why, son?
Because you need to learn how to make compost.
Because it's all rooted in the soil.
Yeah.
If you get that soil right, people like the genius Masanobu Fukuoka, One Straw Revolution, it's why it's one of my favorite books out there. Number one, it's very poetic. But number two, he breaks it down really that simple. If you get the soil right, everything else follows. But you're going to have to put foot to buck and butt in how to make compost. And I know some people are out there saying, oh, I don't want to do that. What did I just tell you a little while ago? You can't rely on these places. There is not a single bag of this bag stuff that is anywhere close to being decent.
Well, I mean, LT, here's some hope. I mean, Eric just said nature doesn't work backwards. So if you like implement the correct practices and stuff like that, it should get better next year. You should have better results next year. And also, if you have like a high amount of pests, I mean, there's another school of thought. If you have a high amount of pests this year, it's going to attract their predators. And hopefully, if you're not spraying anything or anything like that, it might attract their predators, and next year you have less pest oppression.
Or depending on what you have been using, if you're using a lot of synthetic fertilizers, you're always going to be on that roller coaster. So you never know what's going to happen.
But that's all contingent. What I said was all contingent upon whether or not you're using proper practices.
And, you know, the thing is the biggest problem most of us come across when we do this work is it's what they don't tell you that they're, oh, yeah, I haven't put anything out here. Mm-hmm. No, you have.
Yeah.
Did you put lime out? Oh, all I put out there was lime. Well, yeah, you just created a, you just went backwards.
Or some of these people put the stuff down so many days before harvest, like seven dust, for example. Some people put down seven dust like 40 some days before harvest or something like that. Because that way they can still put it down, get rid of some of the pests. This is their logic. Get rid of some of the pests, and then it's supposedly gone by the time it's harvest season.
Yeah. Well, what you just did with that is you just killed all your good guys. And then when you're giving dewormer to your animals, look, LT, I'm not coming down on you because I don't know the full extent. I actually applaud you.
Yeah.
And I wanted to use your example to say, and look, we've had some tragic losses in our past. Even now, to some extent, whether it's an animal loss, I mean, that's tough.
Yeah, or, you lost 200 birds all at once.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, through feral dogs. And there's been other things as well where we've lost our butts in making business deals with people that we should have never teamed up with in the first place.
Yeah, how many times have we had to restart?
Yeah, exactly. How many times we had to restart? Every time we teamed up with anybody, we had to restart every single time. And the worst culprits of all of it were family. So what I'm saying is I could have just threw my hands in the air, same with William, same with Michelle, and just said, look, hey, you know what? It's a whole lot easier to work a 9-to-5. Yeah, it might be, let's say, easier, but is it? Is it? Because I don't think it is. When I'm out there slaving away, toiling away, for even for good money, if it's not the work that I feel like I was called to do, well, then it's still a waste of my time. So what I'm getting at is that no matter how many times you've been kicked down, because we're using the farm example here, and to LT's credit, she's back on top. You know, she's like, okay, hey, back to the drawing board. All I'm going to say is I don't know the full extent of your situation or anybody else in that situation, but no matter what you're using, learn to make compost, because that's number one. Number two, like I said, you get that soil right, everything else is going to fall in line. But in addition to that, regarding these relationships where we have some that fall apart, people that might have been friends, you come to find out later on, really weren't friends. People that were, that you thought were true blue, and they wind up being charlatans. I mean, you got a lot of those people running around. And, you know, people you might have, like in our case, people we might have endorsed in the past, and then you find out that they aren't what they seem, or they're just charlatans, or whatever the case may be. Well, we've made distance from ourselves and those people. You just regroup. You hate the fact that you had to eat a bunch of crow. And you hate even more the fact that you had other people get on board with something only for those people to get screwed.
Yeah, I don't think that, so that applies to this.
No, it does, actually. It does, because what I'm saying is that in those cases, everybody will acquiesce from any relationship. Your mom, if we're not careful, has actually gotten to that point in some ways. And then I got to constantly pull her back. Because her natural reaction is, okay, I'm sick and tired of helping people out, and no good deed goes unpunished.
Well, to be fair, I think we've all have been dealing with that lately. Like, not by lately, I mean like over the past year or so. I think we've all have dealt with that a little bit to some extent or another.
Right, but the point is that you cannot, just because you got burned by somebody,
yeah,
or somebodies or a whole gang of people, it doesn't. What I love about LT is that it's this no lose. There's this no give up nature about that email. It's like, despite all this, you know, I'm still driving on. And that's exactly the mindset we need, whether it be our relationships, whether, let's say, your wife just ran off with a go-go dancer, man. I don't care what the situation may be. It could be some tragedy that happened with your pet or your animals or whatever the case. You're going to have to be it. And this is why I think this email was so incredible, is that it's a lesson that we all need to take away, because I'm sitting here thinking, I'm not trying to one-up anybody, but like William said, I mean, there's been a number of times we've had to start over,
yeah,
because we thought people were actually going to be true to their word. And now, to a certain extent, I'm jaded, but I haven't made that, I haven't become a curmudgeon over the thing. You know,
yeah,
the way Joel talks about it.
This email, I'm glad you brought this email up, because an email that I got makes more sense now, because I got an email of a random, what seemed to be a random cornfield that wasn't looking too hot. And I think it was from the same person. So I think that makes sense now. I think she may have meant to add that to the email she was sending to you, but she sent it to me on accident.
Which part?
It was just a photo of a cornfield that didn't look like it was doing too hot. Yeah.
Well, this one here, she sent me, you know, I wrote and I said, hey, I'll be bringing this up on the podcast. She probably didn't know I was going to use it as the main topic, but I felt absolutely sure I had to. And then she wrote back, sure you can. And someone just blessed us with some peaches and nectarines today. The blessings never end.
Wow.
I mean, how beautiful is that, where you talk about making lemonade or nectarine or peachade out of some lemons. I mean, good night. That's exactly the mindset we've got to have. It really has to be, especially in these times. So folks, you're going to have setbacks when you do this life. But if you're at all serious, I mean, at first you're going to have some massive setbacks. You know how many animals I killed early on? I mean, not intentionally.
I've accidentally killed a chicken before.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you're pulling your chicken tractor, the Salatin's type, and then one gets under there. Next thing you know, you just smashed him. I mean, you don't laugh over something like that. It's like, it's tragic, but
yeah,
you definitely learn about it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you definitely learn
about
it.
It's definitely something you pay attention to after something like that.
Yeah. And you know that it's all your fault. So you're going to have these losses. You're going to have massive losses when you do this work, especially if you didn't come out of this environment. If you didn't come out of this world, you're always going to have those massive losses. But that's exactly why you got to stay at it. So I want to thank LT out there for really pointing this out. That's why I had to do the show on that. Oh yeah, welcome back, y'all. All right, so we're going to get into the Q&A section of this, but before we do, remember Harvest Right. We're obviously affiliates of them. If you want one, check it down below, because that's where probably, okay, well, speaking of blueberries, I remember Danny Wanda said, man, they had to poke holes in each one before they put them on the freeze dryer. That ain't happening, nephew. But also found out from Ben and Denise that they put them on there and they've had no problem at all.
I wonder if it's like an altitude thing.
I don't know. I want to give it a shot.
They're even higher than we are as far as an altitude.
No, actually.
Burnsville?
No, not where they are. I don't believe so. I think they're actually a little bit lower. But the bottom line is that I'm going to give it a shot. I'm going to try it out and see just how it works for us here.
Well, what if you were to like puree it first?
Well, yeah, that would absolutely work.
Yeah, I would just do that.
Pureed blueberries.
They're going to be pureed as soon as you reconstitute them.
Well, they're going to be pureed at some place in that stage, I can tell you that. All right, so we're into the Q&A section, y'all. Got one right off the bat from this from a guy named David. And it was really cool because we've talked a lot about the USS Liberty. And folks, if you haven't looked into it and who did it, go check it out. Yeah, last time, every time we bring that up, some weird things happen. But he sent me this picture, says, saw this picture and thought of you guys. Also, William, you need those rabbits we're raising down in South Carolina if you're eating more than one at a time. Appreciate the ballin' podcast. Well, in this picture is basically this old-timer, and he's got USS Liberty jacket on. I know you can't see it right now. He's talking to what looks like a retired full-bird colonel, and this guy is in a walker, and he has a jacket, and it says, remember June 8th, 1967, USS Liberty. And it shows the USS Liberty, and it's being attacked by these Israeli planes. And that's exactly how it went down. But, you know, we're not allowed to talk about that, right?
Yeah. I got an email. The Fountain app is still down for us, but I got an email from Jake. And he's saying, I just have a potential question for the podcast. Other than fruit and seed producing trees, what are some good general purpose trees to have around the homestead? I already have some locust, maple, Osage orange, and American elm. Trying to fill out some diversity with a potential yield in mind. Thanks for all the content. Great information.
Where's it from?
I don't have that. Yeah. U.S.
Okay, yeah, we don't really have enough information there. But even if we did,
We can narrow it down by Osage Orange.
Well, I'm thinking he's going to be in the deep south.
Somewhere, I would assume, probably, yeah. Probably somewhere around there.
Well, Osage Orange, man, there's a lot of people that hate that tree. It's a double-edged, or Bodark, isn't that the same thing?
Or Ironwood, I think they're all kind of the same. Man, I think so. But that's kind of the issue with common names. But that Osage Orange, if you're interested in it, you could take that stuff and turn it into like a bow, like hew a bow out of some of those limbs and whatnot.
Good firewood too. But as far as other trees that you can have out there, it really, man, that's really going to be something you got to do in your own area. As far as helpful trees, I would seriously read
Akiva
Silver's book. Yeah. Trees of Power. Man, I'll tell you what, he puts a lot of really awesome information, and that goes for everybody out there. It's a really awesome book. It's an easy read, and he gives you so many good reasons. I could sit here and try to give you some off the top of my head, but you would be much better served by checking out that book. That's another one of those books like...
Yeah, I mean, he does a really good job, and he doesn't just go over... In fact, he doesn't spend much time with fruit production. His are more like...
Fodder and nut.
Fodder, oil, like through the nut trees,
yes.
Firewood through the hybrid yep. poplar and stuff like that. Like he has really good obscure, not obscure, but stuff you wouldn't expect out of a book called Trees of Power.
Yeah, you find out that he's pointing out these trees, and there's also these subspecies that, you know, that work with them. And it's maybe trees that a lot of people have kind of demonized over the years. So I would highly recommend reading that book. Look, y'all, these books, we recommend these things for a reason, y'all. They are absolute things that ought to be on your shelf. Because not only, I mean, there's a lot of good business ideas in some of these books as well, as far as propagation
oh,
and
yeah.
what you could be doing. Like, we just did a video on, you know, propagating figs and hazelnuts.
Yeah.
Folks, hazelnuts are over like 61% oil. So from a preparedness standpoint, you think that's something you might want to have? Even if, I mean, you double the hazelnut production right now in America, it's not even meeting anywhere close to the demand out there. So is that something maybe you want to grow? Maybe you want to sell? Maybe you, all I'm saying is there are so many options out there. And reading that book is a really good resource, so definitely check out Akiva Silver on that.
Absolutely. And he's up near where Mom used to live.
Yeah,
up near New York. Or Mom's from, yeah.
Right here from Samantha. Hey, y'all, do you know of a way to deter snakes coming near a chicken brooder or a chicken coop as well? I'm scared to death of snakes, and I may have to, well, anyway, yeah, fiance just killed a couple of them, like a moccasin, water moccasin that was real close. I guess it was close by the brooder or got up in there one way or another. Yeah, I don't know. Unless you got pet mongooses, man, I don't know what you're going to do for that.
Here's what you do. Because I had to do this in Australia where they don't have guns. You get you a decent length of a shovel and you sharpen that thing. And then you just go to town. That's your best bet. And as soon as you kill, once you get to like your third or fourth snake, you're going to get over the fear. And then you're just going to get the adrenaline dump every time you see one, and you're going to go a killing. Like that movie Inglourious Bastards.
Yeah.
You're going to have them just hanging up in your shed.
Yep. You like the killing because it's so fulfilling. I understand where you're at when it comes to snakes now.
Yeah.
But I don't, I mean, like I said, I'm sure there's some real deal permaculture solution out there, but also realize that there's a lot of these snakes that really, man, I know this is hard for because they're all king cobras to me to some extent or another. But a lot of these guys have a role out there. These snakes are going to help keep in the balance a lot of the things that you are thinking are awful. Now, when you're dealing with moccasins and stuff yeah. like that, man, you can't play around because...
Yeah, and some vegans over in Australia were mad at me because I was killing those brown snakes. I was killing them in the kitchen garden where there's like kids running around. I have, like, if I were to get bit by that snake, I have 2 hours. And even then, I'm going to have like severe nerve damage even if I get antibody.
Yeah.
A kid gets bit, they're done.
Man.
Yeah, and the vegans were still mad. So, yeah, go World War III on those snakes. Got one from the YouTube channel, Permaculture Pimpcast. It's from Rayo Shields. William, was it the 26th that you were in Asheville? They had National Top Freedom Day being celebrated that day. And you're right, the people who partake in that generally aren't the ones you want to see naked.
Yeah, that's what I heard about all these people that go on like these nude beaches or whatever. You know, if you got somebody, apparently, I don't know, man, these are people that really ought to cover up half the time. I remember there was this show, man, they were actually writing tickets on the French Riviera, yeah. man. If you rolled out on the French Riviera, and it may still be that way, if you go out there and your body's jacked up, they're going to write you a ticket.
If you're out there naked and you shouldn't be naked.
Yeah, they write you a ticket on the French Riviera. I'm dead serious, y'all. You're like,
and a gym
oh,
fee.
No. Oh, no. Hey, granddad, you're going to have to put them draws back on, man. Ain't having it.
Yeah, I wish they would have given me. We should have written some tickets for those people in Asheville.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So do you know what date it was? I mean, it was
weird... I can check the calendar real quick and try to figure it out. But, I mean, go ahead and ask your
question. Hi, Billy and William. Greetings from Purple Breather Central out here in Western Washington. Love the Pimpcast and all that you guys do. Bought some comfrey from you earlier this year, and it's doing great. Well, thank you so much for your business. Question for you about sheep and fruit trees. We just moved out here on 8-acre homestead. 6 of those acres are fairly flat, pastured with no trees. I would like to put in a permaculture orchard and fruit trees and nut and berry bushes and ground cover. We'll be using some of your bone saws to deter the deer. Well, as soon as I get some back in stock, my man. But I also like to run a small herd of sheep on a rotational grazing pattern out between the orchard rows. How big do you think we should let the trees get before introducing the sheep? I know sheep are grazers, that browsers, but I'm not sure what he's saying there. But he's wondering, okay, in a nutshell, how are you going to integrate the sheep out there? Number one, you're going to need some sheep that honestly respect the netting that you have up there, because they will girdle a doggone tree if you're not careful. I mean, they will eat that thing up just like a goat. So number one, you got to get sheep, number one, that respect that fence. And I would get the hive version of the Premier one if you're using netting. Okay, number two, we never, ever, ever give trees. We can get our sheep close to it. We've been doing it that way for years, but we never let them, unless it's like a silver pasture area where we're talking some really large trees, we never give the sheep full access of any fruit trees at all. Now, there will be times of the year where they'll be in very close proximity, but they will never at this point be in such close proximity that there is a chance of them girdling that bark, which they will do.
Yeah.
So you want to be really careful there. So you can run them up. I mean, we run it up as close as you can possibly get. I mean, they're right at the edge. And also, we prune our trees in such a way to where everything roughly below 40 inches is pretty much pruned off. And it's got to be that way in the model that we use, because we grow things underneath and you got to have access. So we got to keep things kind of open underneath all that. But the really good part of it, the really, really, really good part of all this is that it's really, it really comes down to your management. I would not give those, look, I don't know how many different ways I could say this, man. Do not give them access to any kind of trees. Just keep them away from it. In fact, we run our trees in lines and rows on swales a lot of times. And that's kind of our demarcation point where we run our chickens, and our chicken will do a lot to mess up a tree too.
Yeah.
You don't even want them to have access.
I mean, not for, you can, but not for a long time, not till they're like established.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to be very, very judicious about how you do that.
Got one from Two Old Crows Homestead. Shelly's asking, the thing about AI, though, is that it's not original thought. It's pulling content together from a million different places. Talk about the dumbing down of America. Are the original thinkers on the extinction list?
Man, I'm starting to wonder. I'm starting to wonder, because the real truth of it is, and by the way, check out Shelly and Randy over at twooldcrowshomestead.com. And also, they got a YouTube channel, but they also have a festival coming up, which I neglected to mention earlier, along with Kentucky Sustainable Living. That's going to be October 28th and 29th. We got the Mountain Readiness Fallout. That's going to be October 20th and the 22nd. Thanks for reminding me, Shelley. And then coming up this month is Back to the Land Festival. I don't have the information right in front of me, but we're going to be doing a book signing out there as well. So if you show up in some of these places, we're probably going to have some books, and we're probably going to be signing them too. But yeah, the first one we're going to do is definitely Back to the Land.
And also Farm Where You Live. We're not going to be at that one, but they have one coming up. Do you know where it is?
No,
it's
I don't.
In South Carolina.
It's going to be in South Carolina. I think Georgetown.
Right. It'll be linked down. It'll all be linked down below.
Yeah, like we'll get you squared away.
The Farm Where You Live. You get 10% off with the Farm Where You Live link too.
Okay, I did not know that.
Yep.
So now we do. So yeah folks, regarding what Shelly's saying there, it's scary. It really is scary. In fact, I had a text exchange with Jack Spearco just yesterday, as a matter of fact, regarding a lot of this stuff. A lot of us are using it to some extent as a digital assistant. Yeah, I get it. I really get it. It is very handy. But at the end of the day, I when the first one to ever tell me anything about this, long before the media said anything, was Eric Sider.
I believe it.
And Eric was like, dude, look at what this thing is able to do. And this was like probably months before anybody else was even talking about this. Eric knew about it. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me what this thing was able to do. Well, okay, let's think about this. How many students are ever going to do another book report?
Yeah. Yeah, we've talked about it.
I know,
yeah.
But I mean, you know, we talked about trigonometry earlier.
Yeah.
Okay, so how's that going to go down? How's anybody, I mean, we are getting a point, we already have the dump, we have more information at the tips of our fingers than ever before, and people are dumber than ever.
Yeah.
I mean, dumb unto death. And there's a certain pride in it as well. That's the double-edged sword, and there's also that reliance on, like, man, you know, these computers were supposed to help us be more efficient. But all we do, yeah, we got more efficient and just stack more crap in the spaces.
Yeah, or spent more time on the computers.
There you go.
Yeah. You got one? Or
yeah. Okay. Hey, I just wanted to thank you again for the... okay. Well, this was regarding... This is Raul from last night, the Firmamental Podcast. He wanted to thank me. He said, yeah, he was really thankful for me coming on the podcast. I was thankful to be had. And I think some people seem to think we think more of ourselves because we have a bigger footprint than a lot of folks out there. Folks, I just want y'all to know something. If you ever ask me to come on a podcast, and I'm talking anybody, 9 times out of 10, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to tell you why I'll do it. Because I hope and I pray, and I've talked about this before, I will never, ever, ever lose that wondrous spirit that I had of trying to communicate this back before anybody knew my name. Oh, if you were a tool buddy of me, I guarantee you knew about permaculture before that day was done or before it was on. You know, I was always trying to evangelize this thing. I would have done better in those days to evangelize the good Lord at the time, but, you know, I wasn't there at that time. But I did it with permaculture. And just because we get more notoriety, more people know who we are, which I don't put a whole lot of stock in because I know how quickly that all can change. People seem to think, oh, I can't believe you came on. No, if I can get on there and I can evangelize this design science to just one person,
yeah,
then it would have been worth it to me. Ian, I'm talking even the host. So I'm never, man, I pray and hope, y'all, that I never, ever get to believe my own press and that I can always have a conversation because I know that I ain't no better or worse than anybody else out there. And I definitely don't think I'm special.
Got one more comment from Big Daddy Don. This is regards to the interview you did with Eric Sider on the YouTube channel. Well, I guess on the podcast as well. Two of the wisest permaculture experts on the same pimp cast. I was afraid that was going to break the internet with all the wisdom and knowledge flowing out. Thanks, gentlemen.
Oh, I thank you for the kind words. But honestly, Eric's the brains of that outfit. I mean, he's... you know, I sought Eric's help regarding this that thing in Africa.
Yeah.
You know, and of course, once again, because he's worked in internationally doing many permaculture designs, he's the go-to guy, y'all. I just feel honored that he's able to kind of squeeze us in to be able to do the PimpCast tip of the day.
Yeah.
Because, folks, I'm telling you, if you don't know who he is, you want to get to know him. He's like, he's so humble that he's never going to go up there and take a bow or put himself out front.
Well, I got a statement in regards to that from one of his clients, from Chaga677. I love these guys. I can attest to Eric's virtual consultation. Great value. Just come prepared to take notes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, the dude is wicked smart. And honestly, he's one of my mentors. So, look, I mean, I got a lot of mentors out there. And we all should, depending on what it is. You know, I got a mentor. Okay, so I'm going to hang out with one of my mentors that has been, it can be a virtual mentor. It could even be one that is no longer alive. Maybe you're mentored by them through their books or through their ideas, through their thoughts, through their videos. You got all these different ways in which you can, I got mentors for just about everything you can think of. And it's important to get those. And maybe, you know, to some extent I'm mentoring other people out there. I just don't think enough of my, even no matter what y'all, I just don't think, I know that I'm very flawed and I know I'm not all that. I'm just a guy that works hard and I study hard and I try hard. And I hopefully, you know, I love hard too. And, you know, in the past I've hated hard too. So we're trying to correct that part of it. So we're going to try to do everything a little bit better. Like we talked about in the beginning, y'all, we're going to try to get better at the videos, better at the podcast, better at every single side of this you can imagine, y'all. So until next time, stay alert.
Stay alive. They want to push me to the center like a cell. They want to spin up at the center of the next. It's me.